We're on page Tezayin, one line, right before the lines get very wide. Okay? The Gemara was discussing a concept of a negative commandment, which is followed by a positive mitzvah. Lav hanitak la'asei, a negative mitzvah followed by a positive commandment, you don't get whipped. Okay, that's what the Gemara was discussing until now. So now the Gemara says, Tanan Hosam, this is a few lines we learned already last week. Tanan Hosam, the Gemara says, we learned over there that Haneitel Emal Abanim, if a person takes a mother bird while it's in her young, the Torah says, if you come across a nest and the mother bird is sitting on the eggs, okay, you have to send away the mother bird and then you can take the chickens, the young babies. You're not allowed to take Lesikach Emal Abanim. This is what the Torah says. But it's important to understand the language of the Pasuk to understand the Gemara. The Torah says, don't take the mother while she's on the babies. Send away the mother, and then take the babies.
Isn't that basically, right?
Why?
Why would you take the mother's babies?
Well, that chickens are made for humans to serve humans. What do you mean? No, I'm serious.
Is that biologically correct, possible, what you just said?
What, there's a mother sitting on her...
Oh, talking about a female chicken.
Yeah.
You come across a nest, the mother's sitting on her eggs, her young, and you kick the mother away.
And what do you think happens as soon as the babies grow up? They leave the mother anyway.
Right.
So the Torah says, send away the mother, that the mother bird shouldn't see the way she should suffer by seeing you would take away the young chickens. So the Torah says, so to speak, even though the Rambam says it's not niceness, but you send away the mother bird. So 1 second. So what happens if somebody didn't listen to the mitzvah, and he did take the mother bird together, he took the young kids together with the mother? So the din is, Rabbi Yehuda says, Loike ve'ena mishalech. Rabbi Yehuda says, he gets Malkus, and once he gets page Tazayin, but you, it's 31. Page 31. Rabbi says, you get Malkus because he transgressed a negative commandment. Ve'ena mishalech, he doesn't have to send away the mother bird because it's too late already, basically. Now, the Chachamim say no. Mishalech, you still send away the mother bird. Ve'ena like, and you don't get Malkus. Meaning very simple. The question is, basically we learned before, everybody agrees that a negative commandment connected to a positive commandment, you don't get Malkus. The view of the holds though as follows. When it says in the Torah, don't take the mother bird, send away the mother bird. So seemingly, first comes the negative commandment, don't take the mother bird. Then the Torah says, send it away. That's what the Chachamim hold. It's a negative followed by a positive, so you don't get Malkus. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. That's not what the Torah really means. What the Torah really means is, send away the mother bird. Don't take it. In other words, the Torah is not saying the positive mitzvah second. The Torah is really saying, you will surely send away the mother bird and don't take the kids. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a negative preceding the positive, that the positive follows the negative. According to Rabbi Yehuda, first you have the positive, the negative. I'm sorry. First you have the positive. You will surely send away the mother. Don't take it. What?
It's almost a human impossibility for a human being to send away a bird giving birth.
No, it's already, the kids are born. She's just sitting on them. They're already there.
Well, the kids are born.
Yes. She's just laying on the young. That's what the birds do.
Where? Well, they're over our heads. How do we get up there?
It's a nest in the tree.
We don't get near that, Rabbi.
Sure they do. What are you talking about?
I just want to ask. Rabbi Yehuda is saying it's in a certain order, but which order is it in the Chumash?
The Chumash says... The Torah says, don't take the bird, send it away.
Okay, so...
So the Torah says first the negative, then the positive. But Rabbi Yehuda says it's not a negative and a positive. The Torah is basically saying a statement. It's a positive commandment that precedes, not that remedies it. Meaning, that is, the Torah means, don't take the mother bird, but instead send her away. So it's not that it's fixing the negative. Normally, when the Torah says a negative followed by a positive, the positive is fixing the negative. For instance, don't steal, give back what you took. Okay? So over there it's clear. The Torah says, don't steal, but if you did, give it back. Here, the Chachamim learn, it says, don't take the bird, send it away. Which means, if you didn't send it away, send it away. Right? The Buddha says that's not what it means. It's not that the Torah is telling us a positive mitzvah, fixing the negative. The Torah is teaching you, send away the mother bird. In other words, don't take the kid, rather send it away. So it's not that it's two separate actions, first a negative commandment, and then you can fix it by a positive. For instance, don't steal, give it back. That's clearly the negative fixing the positive. Okay? Right? Like we learned before, don't divorce the woman, marry her. Right? Then it fixes it. Here he's not saying it's two separate things, that the positive is fixing the negative. He says, what the Torah is telling you is, don't take the bird, but instead send it away. It's not a question of two actions, it's one action. Right. And then the Gemara continues, says, Zehaklal, this is the rule. The second of the wide lines of Tazayin Amid Aleph. Zehaklal, this is the rule. Kol mitzvah leisasa, any negative commandment, sheyesh bei kumasei, that has a positive mitzvah to rectify the negative mitzvah, ein chayoven aleihu, you don't get malchus. That's it. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says a strange statement, seemingly. He says, even though the Mishnah said an expression, this is the rule. Now, normally when you say, this is the rule, it means there's many cases when the rule applies, right? Here the Gemara says, no. Ein lanu ela zeis ve'ed acheres. Rabbi Yochanan says, there's only two cases in the Torah of a negative mitzvah fixing a positive mitzvah. That means even though the expression, even though the expression in the Gemara is, Zehaklal, this is the rule, which means there's a lot of details in the rule, Rabbi Yochanan says there's only two positive mitzvahs that fix the negative mitzvah. And Shiluach HaKan, sending away the mother bird, is one of them. But he didn't say which one was the second. Amalei Rabbi Lazar, so Rabbi Lazar said, his student said to him, Rabbi, Heicha, where's the second case of a lava nitik la'asei, that the positive mitzvah fixes the negative mitzvah? Amalei, he said to him, L'chitzishka, go and find it yourself. He knows that's the Rabbi said to him, what are you asking me? Go figure it out yourself. Go learn and find the second case. So, Nafik Dok V'yashkach. He went out, Rabbi Lazar went out, he searched, and he found. Obviously, it wasn't Rabbi Yochanan was a mean guy. He wanted that the student should figure it out on his own. Like kids, they come home from school, they have homework, and they say to the mother, or the father if they're lucky, what does this word mean? The mother says, look it up in the dictionary. Because when you look it up yourself, you'll remember the meaning of the word. So Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Lazar, you want to know? Go find it yourself. So Yitaka went out and he found it. What was the case?
Was this Rabbi Lazar Tana?
No. This is Rabbi Lazar Dameiru, because Rabbi Yochanan was also an Amira. Rabbi Yochanan was the first generations of Amiroyim, and Rabbi Lazar was his student of the Gemara era. Nafik Dach V'yashkas. He said, the Tanya, this is the case we learned before. Einis, if the man raped the woman, Shagira, Shidu, and the Torah said, you have to marry her. Remember that whole Gemara from before. And he divorced her, which he wasn't supposed to. So it says, Im Yisrael hu, if he's a Yisrael, meaning, not a Kohen, the Levi or a Yisrael, machzir, he can remarry her, ve'ein alike, and he doesn't get whipped. Why? Because he can fix it. The Torah said, don't divorce her, right? But he could remarry her. So if he remarries her, he fixed the aveda that he did. But bim kayin hu, but a kayin is not allowed to remarry his divorcee, because a kayin cannot marry a divorcee. So the question is, what do you do if he's a kayin and he already divorced the wife and he can't remarry her? So the din is laika, he gets malchus, because the Torah said don't divorce her, and he did. Ve'einim achzen, he can't remarry her. So this is the second case that Belazer found, that the positive mitzvah, if he's a Yisro, what does he do? He remarries her, and he doesn't get whipped. Okay, so the Belazer found the second case, where positive mitzvah fixes the negative mitzvah, and you don't get whipped.
Yeah, but a woman who gets raped,
okay, again, the
is
same
not going to get married to that bum.
Okay, but we discussed that already, and we figured out that she did. Where he already divorced her. Now did he marry and divorced her? One second. We're going to discuss this in a second. You will learn, it's not his problem. Well, let's see in a second. So now the Gemara says like this: Hey, Michal Amandi Yamar. That's only good according to the opinion we learned before in the Gemara. Kimu v'le kimu. But if according to the opinion says bitle v'le bitle, okay. The Gemara says, if you remember the Gemara we learned, when the negative mitzvah is fixed by the positive mitzvah, we learned an argument before between Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish held kimu v'le kimu, which means the guy steals, I'm using the case of stealing because it's just simpler to understand. The guy steals. He could fix it by giving it back. Bezdin says to him, okay, according to the Shlokish, Bezdin says, listen, you sinned, give it back. You don't want to? Whipped. We're giving you an opportunity, give it back. You don't want to fulfill the mitzvah? You sinned? That's it, you're done. You're going to get whipped. Rav Yechanan said, no, he doesn't get whipped. Until it's impossible for him to give it back. Bitly, bitly, bitly. We learned Rabbi Yechanan holds that if the Moshe, the guy steals the object, and he destroys it, then he can't give it back, so then he's going to get whipped. By the way, I just want to comment, the Gemara is not going to agree with what I just said, because later the Gemara is going to say he can give back money. Okay, but I'm just giving them to understand the concept. If a guy steals, the Shtokish says, Bezin says to him, you don't want to get whipped? Give it back right now. You don't give it back right now, we're going to whip you. Rabbi Yechanan says, as long as you have the ability to give it back, Bezin can't whip you. Okay? And we explain, why does Rabbi Yechanan hold what he holds? Because Rabbi Yechanan says, when the Torah puts a negative mitzvah with a positive mitzvah, it's one long continuation of a sin. And as long as you still have the ability to do the mitzvah of giving it back, you really never sinned yet. And if you never sinned completely, you're not going to get whipped. The Shlaki says, you did the Aveda, it's over. Now the Torah comes on, the Torah's a nice guy, the Torah says, listen, if you give it back, we're not going to beat you up. But it's either now or never. Okay. So now the Gemara says as follows. This is only good according to the opinion that says that the positive mitzvah that fixes the negative mitzvah is kimu v'le kimu. And I'll explain in a second. Why? Because then it's possible to say as follows. The guy raped the woman, married her, divorced her. Okay? Bezin can tell him, listen, give it back right away. Remarry her. Remarry her. He doesn't, you can get whipped. That makes sense. That's the feasibility where you would get whipped. But Elamand Yomet Bitle Vele Bitle, but according to the reason that you don't get Malchus unless if you mamash broke it completely. So Bishle Megabish Shaluach Hakan, by sending away the mother, I can find a case. Mishkachasle, if the guy killed the mother bird, so he can't send her away anymore. Right? So I understand it would be possible to get Malchus. But ela einis, but in the case of the rapist, according to Rabbi Yechanan, bitle vele bitle hechem mishkachesto. How do you have a case that it's impossible for him not to remarry her? What's the case? The guy raped the woman. He's forced to marry her. Okay, and the Torah says stay married your whole life. The guy divorced her. Okay, Now he has to remarry her.
Even if she doesn't want
to? Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the question is, where do you have a scenario where it's impossible for him to remarry her? And the Gemara gives a few examples. Ida Katla, if he killed her, so he can't remarry her. Come live with Rabbi Mina. He's not going to get whipped, he's going to get killed. 1 minute. In other words, we have to find a case that the guy has to remarry the woman, and it's impossible for him to remarry her. Okay? Because that's when he would be getting Malkus. Now, how is it, how do you have the scenario that it's impossible for him to remarry her?
Kohen was one.
No, not the Kohen. I'm saying a Yisrael. Right. Now, the question is, if he killed her, and therefore he couldn't remarry her, and therefore he'd get whipped because he sinned by divorcing her, the Gemara says he's not going to get whipped.
Not right away.
No, he's not going to get whipped. He's going to get killed for murder.
Oh.
By him killing her,
oh, he killed her.
He killed her.
Oh, okay.
Now, he's supposed to get Malkus. When does he get Malkus? When he doesn't have the feasibility of doing the mitzvah. Now, if he killed her, the act of killing the woman is getting him two punishments. Malkus for not being able to remarry her, plus death for killing a person. Right. That's exactly what it is. So the question is, we give him the greater of the two punishments, so he's going to get killed, so he's not going to get Malkus. So how do you have the case? One second. What? Beth isn't going
to
kill him.
What if he becomes Ani, totally Ani? He has to be able to support a wife if he has no money.
He still has an obligation to remarry her. In this case, he has to marry her anyway.
What if he gets maimed in the genital?
He still has to marry her.
And if she
goes with
somebody.
Oh, one second. Amr Avsimi Michuznoi. So Avsimi Michuznoi answered, there is a case. Kagan Shekiba law Kedusha Meyachet. The rapist, the man, was a shliach for somebody else to give her kedushin. Now you have to understand, let me explain something very, and this is what you were asking before. In order for him to get Malkus, he has to make the ability not available anymore to do it. Right? He has to be the one doing it. He has to be mevatel, the ability to do it. Now, if she goes ahead and marries somebody else, he didn't stop it from happening. So he's not going to get Malkus.
She
wrong to marry somebody else? Huh? Yeah, but if she does, she does. The Kedusha would be valid. So it can be, because you can answer the Gemara, very simple case. The woman got married to somebody else, and once somebody else marries her, she can never go back to the first husband. But the Gemara says, then he didn't break it. He didn't stop the ability, she did. He's not going to be punished for that. Right? So the only case is, he did something that didn't allow him to remarry her. So first the Gemara said, okay, he killed her. That's one possibility. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? But then he doesn't get Malkus, he's going to get killed. So the Gemara says, no. You know what the case is? He was a shliach from another man to do kedushin to the woman for the other man. So he did it. But the Gemara said, what do you mean he did it? If he's a shliach, then it's like he's not a person. Whoever sent him is the one that did it. Well, the Gemara says like this. Amar Avraham says it doesn't work. Isha visa shliach, if the woman made him the shliach, ihi kamavatalei. She stopped it, not him. Because he is only her emissary. He is like her extended hand. He didn't do it, she didn't. Elisha visa shliach, if she didn't make him a shliach to accept kedushin for somebody else, Kol Kamini is not believed, he has no power of attorney to do that. V'lo klum he, and he's worthless. So the Gemara is asking a very simple question. How do you have a case, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that a guy divorced a woman he wasn't allowed to divorce? He has a mitzvah to marry her, and he made it impossible for himself to marry her. It's not an avail over him. He's not doing the kedushin. Somebody else is doing the kedushin. En shlich dvar aveda is if for the sender it's a sin. No. Let me explain to you something. A kohen, listen to me. A kohen cannot marry a divorcee. Correct? No. If a kohen sends a shliach to do kedushin to a divorcee, for him, he makes an agent. Kedushin, you're allowed to do with agents. You don't have to give the ring yourself. You can appoint somebody. Give the girl a ring for me. Right? That's the whole concept of a shliach to do kedushin. Now, if I'm a kohen and I'm not allowed to marry a divorcee, and I send you as a shliach to give a divorcee kedushin for me, then you're a shliach l'dvar aveda. You can't make a proxy to do a sin. You can't make an agent to do a sin. Okay? For instance, if I say to you, I'm making you an agent, my shliach, to kill him, and you kill him, who is liable, me or you? No. No, sir. That's what Beis Shammai, by the way. Yeah. Beis Shammai is the Yeshlech Dvar Aved. The second parak in Kedushin. What? No. I am in heaven a bad guy. But I say to you, you know what the Gemara says? The Gemara learns out from Psukim, and then the Gemara says a logic. I tell you kill. God says to you, don't kill. Who are you supposed to listen to? So I can tell Bezdin, what do you mean? I told him to kill. God says to him, don't kill. Is he supposed to listen to me or to God? What do you want from me? No, no problem. 1 second. Yeah, but he's a bad guy too, so what? Now, 1 second. So therefore, if a kohen sends a shliach to do kedusha with a divorcee, it's no good. Right? But what happens if a Yisrael, who could marry a divorcee, sends a kohen to be his shliach? Is there anything wrong with that? Why not? Because it's not an aveda for the sender. Who cares about it? The shliach is not doing it for himself. The shliach is doing it for the one that sent him. For the one that sent him, it's not a sin. What does it have to do? Sure, maybe the fneiver, whatever, but it's not the...
Rabbi, you know what you should do?
What?
You should hang up a sign. All mafia are invited to study Gemara with me, because the mafia, the head of a gang, of these gangsters, whatever, shitty, always sends a shliach to kill somebody.
Right.
And then...
What do you think, they're stupid?
Both held responsible.
Because they would be made men, that's why.
In Torah law, you don't punish the sender. God does. Yeah, doesn't matter. It's a very simple thing. I send you to do an aveda. What do you want from me? What? That's a separate issue, but the shlich is... Well, one second. So the Gemara is trying to figure out a case where the guy has to remarry the woman and it's impossible. He made it impossible for him to marry her. Okay? So one case, the Gemara said he killed her. Okay, so the Gemara says, then you get killed. You don't get malchus anyway. So the Gemara said he was a shliach. So the Gemara said, what do you mean he's a shliach? Then he's not him, it's the woman. So what's the case? So the Gemara says, there is a case. Elosh Amar Avsimi Ban Minadoi, Avsimi Minadoi said, Kogain Shehedira Barabim. The rapist made a public vow he will not marry her. And there's a din, if you make a neder, al das rabim, the Gemara is going to explain, meaning that publicly he made a vow, you can't nullify the vow. So now he made a vow that he's not going to marry her. So then it's possible that he did something that's going to marry her. So the Gemara said, 1 minute, hey, nichalaman diyama, that's only good according to the opinion that says, neder shuhudr berabim en lehafar, that a public vow cannot be nullified. But there's an argument about this. But there is an opinion that says even a public vow you could nullify the vow. So Michael may say, let him nullify the vow. What's the problem? So the Gemara answers, the Madira la das rabim. Not that he made a public vow. He made a vow on public consensus. Meaning as follows. If I come along and I say I'm making a vow on 10 people in this room, I say I'm making a vow on the consensus of the 10 people. The only way I can get rid of this vow, if all 10 people agree, I can get rid of it. Right? But what happens if a guy says, I make a vow on the consensus of the world? You will never get public opinion that everybody will agree. That we know, right? So that he can never nullify that vow according to all opinions. So the Gemara says, you know what the case is? The guy raped the woman. He married her. He divorced her, which he wasn't allowed to do. Okay? You know when he's going to get whipped? If he makes a vow, al das rabim, on public consensus, that he will not marry her. Now, he can't nullify the vow, so he's not allowed to remarry her. He was the one that didn't allow him to marry her. To remarry her, then he'll get whipped. That's according to Rabbi Eichnan. According to the Shtokish, the case is very simple. As soon as he divorces her, kimeloi kimoi, Bezdin comes to the guy and says, listen, Boychik, you either marry her right away, remarry her, or we're going to get Malchus. And he doesn't remarry her right away, he's going to get Malchus. Then maybe Bezin will allow it. I mean, I don't know if... See, the Torah says you must stay married to her. If she doesn't want, I don't know. I don't know the halacha in this case. I don't know if the Torah says, no, she's stuck. The main thing is he's stuck with her. That means if she wants to stay married. But if she doesn't want, I don't think there's a law that she must stay married to the guy. What?
He has to stay married to her?
Everybody says you have to stay married to her.
What was the case that we just discussed about Rabbi Yochanan?
He divorced her, which he wasn't allowed to do. Okay? So Rabbi Yochanan says, you won't get Malchus until you make it impossible to remarry her. Right. How could that be? So the Gemara says, the only case is, if he makes a vow and public consensus, and that therefore you can't nullify it. So now he has a vow that he's not going to remarry her. Torah says you must remarry her. And therefore he's going to get whipped.
Rabbi, who did the whipping in those days?
Bezdin. Because that's the guys. Bouncers. No, they can't go against halacha. But that's different. They discussed this.
We missed you.
Certain times you could, certain times you mushba v'emet from Har Sinai. The whole thing depends what the mitzvah is. What? He didn't do it.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Right. Or she just died. In other words, but you see from the very interesting thing. Bitlay means when you made it impossible to do the mitzvah. If it happened by Shluch HaKan, the bird got shot by somebody else, then you weren't to mevatel it. So then you're not going to get Malchus. But
is there a case, let's say by the Kohen with the Shliach of the Barbera, and you said the Kohen sends a Shliach.
Yeah.
Is there a case where if a Kohen sends a Shliach, And he does get married to her, and he has to divorce her?
If a Kohen marries a divorce, he has to divorce her.
Right. So, I mean, is the Kedushin good? I mean,
the Kedushin is good.
It is good.
So because it's only a negative sin, it's not capital punishment. Uh-huh. In other words,
he would have to.
If a man comes over to a married woman and gives her a ring and says, Ariat Mekudeshesli, she does not need a get, because it wasn't valid. If a man comes over to his sister who was single, and says, in front of two witnesses, gives her a ring, and says, Areat Mekudeshesli B'Tabazu, she does not need a get. or a guy. But if, because those are capital punishment, those the Torah, if you do marry them, you get killed. Right? But there's certain things the Torah says you're not allowed to do it, but if you do it, you only get malchus, you only get whipped. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee, but if he does, he doesn't get killed. The kid's not mamzer. He's not a Kohen, the kid. But if a Kohen marries, I mean, if a man marries a married woman, the kid's a mamzer. If the guy marries a sister, the kid's a mamzer. Okay? But if a Kohen marries a divorcee, and there's certain few cases, the Gemara says, which called chai v'lav, that it's only a negative commandment, not capital punishment, the Kedushin is valid. Except according to Rabbi Kiva. But the Aloch is not like Rabbi Kiva. Kedushin teitzin b'chai v'lavim, if it's only a negative commandment, it's valid, but you have to mitzvah, you have to divorce her. Yeah, if a Kohen marries a divorcee, the kid's not Kohen.
Is there a case where it says for a Kohen that he, is there like a negative end followed by a positive for that? I mean, or something like that, where it says
it's not no, no. Negative mitzvah, you get the command, you laugh. Somebody called me today. Boy and girl never had a wedding, lived together though as husband and wife. They wanted Mr. and Mrs. After a while, she left him. No divorce. Married, not with a chasana, married another man, lived as husband and wife again, and they had a kid. Is the kid a mamzer?
Oh, not with the first time they didn't get divorced?
No, first time they didn't get married either.
They didn't get married either. Oh, okay. So, what?
Why are they calling me? Because they're bored. Why are they calling me? A rabbi called me that somebody asked him this question. So, the answer is it's not so simple. Chatchila, they needed a get if they live together as husband and wife. You live together, boyfriend and girlfriend, you don't need a get. If you live together as husband and wife, you want as Mr. and Mrs. But the problem is, if they lived in a religious area where people, from people, knew them as Mr. and Mrs., then they really need a get, and it's a very big question if the kid's a mamzer. Because there's Eidi Yichud, witnesses that saw him, from people, saw him as going as husband and wife, so those are Eidim that testify their husband and wife. But it's time they live together in a non-from neighborhood and nobody knew about them, it's a different story. Even as Mr. and Mrs., because who knows them as Mr. and Mrs., nobody from. I mean, that would need a get, but yeah, but you wouldn't need, you know what I mean, but, kids around the moms. Okay. What? Now you have a big problem. Big problems.
Don't you need to have a din every time you make a kiddushin?
What?
Or kiddushin. Don't you need to have a din?
Yeah.
Well, just say something from tell the girl that you're a kiddushin to me.
No, I'm saying in front of two witnesses. No. If a boy goes with a single boy, single girl, are alone in a room, and the boy gives out, takes a ring, and gives the girl the ring, and says, "I'm a kadesh asli b'tabazu kadesh meishav Yisrael." Okay? They both go out of the room, and they say, "Guess what? We just did kedushin. It's worthless." So Gemara says in kedushin, "Ein chayshish in the kedushin." It's not even a Sufi Kedushin. Not a Mekadosh Beit Echot. If there was one witness, a kosher witness, but only one, the Gemara says, Ein Cheshish in the Kedushin. It's not even a doubt of a Kedushin. But there's no Edom. Saying, if there are Edom, that there was a Kedushin, so then you need a get. And it happened already, we mentioned in the previous Shurim, a long time ago, that there were boys and girls that were playing, you know, a group of boys and girl teenagers were hanging out, and a boy went over to a girl in the group while the other kids were watching and said, for a joke, he said, "Mekadesh li b'tabazu kadesh meishav Yisrael," and the girl took the ring and she needed a get. What in the other parts?
Forget me, I have to go.
The Kedushin is Kedushin. The wedding is Yichud. Kedushin is Kedushin. The girl needed a get. Huh? She accepted and he said the Shem Kedushin. And that, you know, that's it. You have to be very careful when people do plays. They do a marriage scene in a play. And a boy gives a girl a ring and says, Rabbi Kedushin to me. It's a big shot of Kedushin. Anything, you give her a cup if it's worth a penny. Depends how many cups. If you have to see 1,000 cups, cost $10.95, I think it is. So each, huh? No, it's not in finals. I think it's $10.95 a case. So it's more than a penny. So it's a shot of Kedushin. No, no, no. It could be even a cent. A girl over 12. Right. But the boy. Over bar mitzvah? No. Yeah, but the ktana is it. The father could accept kedushin for a ktana. The ktana can't do it for herself. Okay. If there are two witnesses watching, yeah.
Then she can't marry Cohen.
Right. A lot of parents go bananas on a lot of things. Okay, so now the Gemara, Rabbi Yechon said a statement that there's only two mitzvahs, that there's the negative mitzvah is followed by a positive mitzvah, which are the Shaluach HaKan. And Rabbi Elazar found the second one. Right? Rabbi Elazar went out and found the case with the rapist, with the divorcing, that whole story. So now the Gemara asks, Vesuleko. What do you mean there's only two? In other words, there's so many other cases of Lava Nitik La'aseh, where Lamosha says there's a simon, Gezel, Mashkin, and Peya. The Gemara says Gezel, the case that we just said before, Gezel, Rachmana, the Torah says, Lay sigzel, don't steal. And then the Torah says, Veishiv is exhaler, return the stolen object. Why isn't that Lava Nitik La'aseh? Right? That's another example. What's the case of Mashkin? Mashkin is as follows. The Torah says in Mishpatim, if somebody owes you money, you're not allowed to go into his house to take the collateral, to take the pledge, right? The guy has to come out and give it to you. So what does the Torah say? The Torah says, Leisave al beise lavet avete. You're not allowed to go into the house. It's a negative commandment. You're not allowed to go into the house to get the pledge. What does the Torah say? That if you did, give it back when the sun sets. Meaning, what does the Torah say? Don't take it. But if you did, give it back. So that's again a second case of a positive mitzvah fixing the negative mitzvah. And the Gemara says, by the way, this you have mishkachos lekimei v'lekimei ubitlei v'lebitlei. You can have it both cases. Like he says, the guy stole. And Bezin says to him, give it back right away, and he doesn't. So you give him Malchus. Or, if the guy destroyed the object. Okay? So the Gemara says, Hasam, but over there. Oh, so the Gemara's question is, why are you telling me that there's only two cases? There's more than two cases of Lava Nita Classic. So Rabbi Yechonin says, no, with this concept we just said before. Kiv and the Chayv B'Tashlumin, even if you burnt the lost article, the stolen object, I mean, right? Rabbi Yechonin says, what do you mean? You still have to give back money? If I steal a cup from you, so the Torah says, give back the cup, yeah? And I destroy the cup, what do you think, I'm off the hook? I still have to give you back the money for the cup.
Yeah, but aren't you going to get lashes? Oh, wait. Isn't the
person going to get a lash? No, I have a chiv to give back the object or value of the object.
No, but I'm saying, if according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, let's say he stole the cups, or let's say they were cups, and he stole them, and he burnt them.
He's still obligated to pay money.
But he's going to get lashes.
No, he won't.
Oh, really?
Because he can still give it back by giving back money.
Oh, okay. That's true.
You still have an obligation. So Reb Zeira found a case where it's impossible to give back a mashkin. What's the case? Maskel that Reb Zeira says, Ika mashkinu shel get. The Gemara normally asks, every Jew has a relative. I mean, if they're Jew, you go all the way back to Yaakov Avinu. I mean, we have relatives. There's one Jew that feasibly has no relatives. If a guy becomes a Jew, he never married and never had kids. So there's absolutely no relatives. What? Right? If a guy converts, never marries, never has kids, so he's all alone. By the way, you know the interesting thing? What happens if he dies? His property is free for all. First come, first serve. It's Hefker. He has no inheritors because he has no relatives.
So you're talking about a guy who's never been married or is married. You're talking about a guy.
No, I'm saying if a guy converts, marries, and has kids, then his kids inherit him.
Yeah. But this guy who converts and is already married, but converts to Judaism, he has no wife, no kids, no relatives. What are you saying?
Right.
Oh, wow.
What do you expect it to be?
Unless, of course, they do it too.
Huh?
Unless, of course, his family, his pre-Jewish family, they convert too. I mean,
if somebody went to a ged to take the pledge, the collateral, you weren't allowed to, right? The ged owed you money. So you went to his house to take collateral, and Thursday you're not allowed to, right? Now the ger dies. Who are you supposed to give it back to? You can't fulfill the mitzvah.
No, but... that's assuming he has no relatives.
So is that going to get
whipped? Huh?
It's assuming he has no relatives.
Right.
So you won't get whipped for that, will you?
You would. The only question is, he didn't do it. I don't know. What? Sure. Even if a wife doesn't become a ged, if she's Jewish. If a goyish man is married to a Jewish woman, correct? And he converts, he has to remarry her. And if he doesn't, they're not married. Wasn't a marriage. We had a case in the city like that. But the case was different. This woman was married to a guy. He converted. And after the conversion, it's Mamish Frum. The lady still lives here. In the city, not in our area, but in different area. And after the guy converted, they had a kid together. He was a guy, they were married, they had a girl, and then the guy converted. And after he converted, the woman said, you know what, I don't want to stay married to you anyway. So they didn't need a get, because they were never married.
What about the girl?
The question that came to us was, if the father's visitation rights, can he be alone in the house with a girl who is halachically not his daughter, just biologically? Huh?
Did you make that decision?
Yeah.
What happened?
Huh?
What happened?
It says in Halacha that even though it's halachically not his daughter, so the din of Yichud normally would apply, but because it's his biological daughter, there's no din of Yichud. There's no problem. One second. In technical halacha, Yes, in real halacha, no. In other words, Shulchan Aruch says, I'm not going to the health issues. Okay. Shulchan Aruch says, if there's a brother and a sister, goyim. Yeah? And both of them convert, so they're like newborn babies, they're not related anymore. Right? So according to halacha, technically, the brother can marry a sister. But halacha says you're not allowed to. Why? Because it doesn't look right. As goyim, brother and sister can't marry. So now they became Jewish, you're going to be more lenient than goyish law and say yes, they could marry. Technically, a child can marry his mother. The same way. Right? If there's a Goyisha mother who had a son, a Goy, and they both converted, so they're not related to each other. But that, again, this is... this is not relevant to the Gemara, but... what? What? But after the gaitis, they didn't live together.
Oh,
no. After the... Okay, so the Gemara says, L'chayr, you can have a case. There's a mashkin you take from a ged, right? You have a mitzvah to give back the mashkin, the collateral to the ged, but he died, and he has no relatives, so you have no chiv to give it back anymore. So the Gemara says it's not true. So the Gemara has an interesting answer on top of the page. Hasim gabra by Tishkumen. The Gemara answers like this. He is obligated to pay. It's just there's nobody to pay it to. So you can't say his chiyuv is over. His chiyuv is still there. He's still obligated to give it back. The question is, there's nobody to give it to. Do what she give the bezin? Huh? No, you can give it to the Bezdin if anything, but...
We had another case that the money stayed in the basement and you couldn't decide who it belonged to. Like, and when you say it's a free-for-all, I mean, that's something you sell, like, the money from the
check. See, the Mefarshim Taki explained, he brings down that the Gemara is not really dealing with Rabbi Yechon's issue, because Rabbi Yechon's issue is when he nullified it. The Gemara is just talking like hypothetically. You can have a case, but the truth is, in the case when the Ger died, he didn't stop it. The Ger died, I mean, Hashem stopped it. But the Gemara is just talking in the learning aspect of it. But the Gemara asks, still, we have a case of Peya. Peya is, the Torah says you have to leave the corner of your field and give it to the poor people. Okay, so the Torah says like this, don't cut it, leave it for the poor people. Which means, if you did cut it, you still leave it for the poor people. Right? Now, l'cheder, that's a lava nitik lasei. It's a negative commandment, which is followed by a positive mitzvah, which rectifies the negative commandment. So the Gemara says why? The Torah says, don't cut the corner of your field. La'ani v'laget tazeveisim, leave him to the poor people. So mishkachos they became avlekimu. You find it both by the case, the opinion that says kimu avlekimu. That means either do it right away or else you're going to get whipped. Or even according to the case, a bitli v'lebitli. Why? The Tanan, it says in the Mishnah as follows: mitzvahs peyah lahafdish min hakama. The proper mitzvah of peyah is to leave it from the standing crop. Okay, in other words, the Torah says, everything is growing in the field. The corner, just leave alone. Just leave it for the poor people. What happens, lehifrish min hakama? What happens if he didn't separate and he cut it down? Hifrish min ha'emrim. He can do it from the bundled grains. on top of the page. Lehefrish min ha'emrim, if he didn't do it from the emrim, from the bundles, mafrish min hakri, he does it from the pile of kernels, achel emeruach, until he didn't smooth it. Meaning, the winnowing process. You know, you throw it up into the wind, and then, okay. Then it says, merchei, what happens if you did already a winnowing? So the din is meiser, you have to first give meiser, and then neisinli. Then, you have to give peya. Meaning as follows. There's a certain time that you have to give 10%. That begins after the winnowing. Winnowing is you throw it up into the air like the old times when the kernels came down and the shaft blew away. So he says as follows. You're supposed to give peya lechatchila when it's standing. If you didn't do it, give it when it's bundled. You didn't do it when it's bundled, you could do it when it's kernels, as long, but the difference is, once the kernels, you have to first give ma'aser, and then give peya. Once it became flour, you can't give peya anymore. That's the din. You can only give peya until it's made into flour. Now, if the guy didn't give peya, and he made the grain into flour, he can't rectify the lav anymore, so he's going to get malchus. So the Gemara's question is, according to Rabbi Eichanan, there's a third case that you can get bitli v'le bitli, the case of peya. So why doesn't Rabbi Eichanan mention the case of peya? So the Gemara answers, it goes according to Rabbi Shmuel. The Amar, what does Rabbi Shmuel say? Afmash v'frish mino isa. You give it from the dough. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you can still do it. So the Gemara says, yeah. So the Gemara says, one second, Rabbi Shmuel nami mishkachasi da'achal isa. If you ate it up, you also can't. So we're going to leave it for next week, how the Gemara answers the soul.